Welcome to Shollycast, the podcast all about Lolly and Shota, including Not Safe for Work. Shollycast is hosted by me, Hydro, and Dr. X. Together, we make up Team CyberHex. We're the developers of Insexual Awakening 1 and 2, an adult visual novel game where you play as a Shota protagonist and get into all sorts of wholesome, naughty fun with friends and family. I primarily work on the writing and planning for our games, and Dr. X works on the programming, artwork, and additional writing. If you'd like to play Insexual Awakening 1 or 2, you can download them at our official Barag at barag.net/cyberhex. You can also check out our continued development progress of Insexual Awakening 2 at our Subscribestar, which is subscribestar.adult/cyberhex. All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Shollycast. I'm Hydro, I'm here with Dr. X, and tonight, or today, or this episode, we are joined by Bitty Cat. Welcome, Bitty Cat.
Hello, thank you.
Yes, we're really excited you got to join us here. Why don't you start off telling everybody a bit about yourself, like what you do and who you are.
All right. Well, most people know me as Bitty Cat. That's how I started with my voice acting. But as of right now, I actually have two online personalities. One is Bitty Cat. That's more for taboo content, such as the Lollycon, ShotaCon, and even the Taboo Talk, while Nyanna is more of the normie side. So I do more like adult content as well as SFW content. And with Nyanna, I stream, sing, draw on top of voice acting. So I do a lot of things.
Wow. So you're actually multifaceted. Like, I didn't know that you did drawing and singing. Like, that's really cool. And you have a Twitch channel, is that right?
Yep. So I have Twitch. I have two separate Twitter accounts because they keep getting banned. I had a previous personality before Nyanna, which was Shortcake8008. With her, I started off doing art commissions for Lolly Hentai, and I managed to get up to 5k on Twitter before I got suspended. And then with Nyanna, I managed to get up to 2k. I got like 1k in one day on
wow.
Twitter. Because one of the things I voice acted over got reposted by an account that has like over a million.
what was it you were voice acting? What was it?
I found this animation on Pixiv by Anna Anon, and it was a slime girl with a more like short kind of guy character, so I voiced both of them. And so she didn't have a lot of stuff on the forefront either. She has like 200 followers on Pixiv. So I posted this on Rule 34 video, like for the more normie crowd. And I guess that's where that one guy saw it and he reposted it and credited both of us.
So he reposted it like on Twitter?
Yeah. And it kind of started blowing up, and I cleaned up my Twitter account, like, to get rid of stuff that either posts that didn't do well or posts that weren't exactly related to lewd, since it was just one account that I had. And I, to make it quicker for the incoming new followers to see my content. So instead of content, and then like silly post, and then a picture of my food.
oh yeah, so it's just kind of a random catch-all account.
Yeah, so like I deleted a bunch, so I don't know if it was because of that Twitter thought like I was doing something funky or whatever, or the sudden influx of followers that I just got 1,000 in one day, or because under his post I was trying to explain to people my range and I accidentally used the word lolly, and everybody got angry and whatever. So there's so many different reasons as to why I could have been suspended, but I did. And so I went ahead and made two new accounts. So one SFW that is not going to have anything lewd on it. So hopefully, even if my NSFW gets taken down, the SFW one should stick around, because it's not doing anything controversial. I'm literally just retweeting cat videos. But so I have that, and I stream on Twitch every day except for the T days, so Tuesdays and Thursdays. Mondays, I do chill streams, so this is very quiet, relaxing. I might play like lo-fi. Today I played Pokemon.
Nice.
And Wednesdays are retro gaming, because I really love the old games from the past. And especially when I didn't really get a chance to really play them when I was growing up. I had an older brother who is very protective over his video games. And even though my mom would buy us these consoles for the both of us, he's the one who kind of claimed dominion over the land of video games, and I wasn't allowed to play. So for Wednesdays, I kind of tickle that itch of myself to play emulator games. Last week, I played Donkey Kong 64.
Love Donkey Kong.
Yeah, it's so good.
Have you played the SNES ones?
Not yet. Right now I have the VBA emulator, so that's Game Boy, Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance. I got the GameCube, Nintendo 64, and Nintendo DS emulators.
Very nice. You have a huge catalog to go through, because there are a lot to go through.
Yeah.
I also downloaded the PSP emulator because I'm super obsessed over Final Fantasy Tactics War of the Lions.
Man, I really want them to port that game to the PC. That'd be so
fun. I know.
Fun.
I want them to make more.
Yeah. That's definitely a tactical RPG I'd love to see. So that's interesting. Good to go back to the Twitter thing. I would say, yeah, it's definitely smart that you created two different kinds of accounts. One that would be safe for work, one that's not safe for work, because our previous guest that we had, Glassfish, she kind of does a similar kind of thing. And I think it's just good practice for anyone who works in the small realm, Lolly and Chota, on Twitter, to try to separate them. Or, like what you do is you kind of only post things that vaguely hint at what you're doing or what you're working on. So, and that tends to work out. So, but that's awesome that you got like basically like a big name profile Twitter user that reposted your thing, and then you got like 1,000 followers. It's just unfortunate that, you know, you kind of became a victim of your own success. Basically, what happened.
Which tends to happen.
And I mean, Twitter, you know, for all the stupid problems and things that we don't like about Twitter, it unfortunately is still like a really good platform for creative people. Like it's still like the place to go if you want like a lot of sharing and a lot of people to get to know you, and that includes Lolly and Chota content creators. I know that I have DGen Comics, which very much features like Lolly and Chota prominently in it, and you know, I just post like cropped thumbnails of like the different comic pages on there, and I don't do any hashtags, no sharing, anything, and yet somehow I have like 3,500 followers, and I don't even know how it even happened.
That was me with like my Tumblr. Like all I did was like reblog, like I didn't post anything and just like stuff, and then I got like 300 followers. I was like, who are you people?
I know, and I mean, I know there's probably like bots on Twitter, but yeah, there's no way that 3,500 of them could all be bots. I doubt it, because I get DMs
bots
from
on
people.
Tumblr too.
Oh mm-hmm. yeah, that's true. So that's amazing. So you kind of have like a full work schedule where you're doing, you know, you're streaming games, do you like show like your drawing process on stream, or is that something you kind of do on the side and then you just post it?
It's something right now I do on the side because I actually had to take a break from drawing for a whole month because my carpal tunnel was getting really, really bad. And it started to just kind of eat me up inside because I wasn't really enjoying drawing anymore. And it's like my biggest passion, and it was like really breaking me down inside mentally. So I took a break, and though taking the break was really good, one, for my wrist, two, it gave me that hunger back because I couldn't draw. So now I was like, I want to draw, and it's like, I can't. And I was like, oh no. So now I'm starting to grow my love for it back, and I kind of don't want people to be seeing or judging my process at the moment, because now I'm like trying to rediscover myself as an artist again. So my art style is changing, the way I draw is changing, and I am going through a self-discovery, and I don't want people's comments or judgments and stuff during that phase right now. So it's definitely more of a just post whatever I want to post.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So you don't want people interrupting your process of self-discovery with your drawing and art.
Yeah, no, that's definitely smart. I'm glad you're doing that.
Yeah, because right now, I've been in the art community long enough. Like, I came from the DeviantArt days. I know how toxic people can get, especially when you're learning, like, especially like anatomy and art styles and stuff. Kind of like how you would learn when you were back in elementary or middle school, you trace. And if you were to ever show that, you will get dogged on, you will get canceled. People will then claim that all of your art is traced, that none of your art is original, and it's just not like that, you know?
I think I do tend to sometimes see people really get worked up over people that trace stuff. And I mean, if you're doing it to improve your art, I mean, I really don't see any issue with it. Honestly, it'll probably make you more comfortable with like the way that you do certain like movements with your hands and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I can understand that, but I think it's great that you're have you been doing drawing longer than you've been doing voice acting?
Yes, definitely. Though it is kind of tricky because I've been singing for like a really long time. When I was really little, my memory goes as far as 4 years old, and I was always drawing. But the other thing that I was always doing was also singing. And apparently I was a big loner. In third grade, I still have it with me. I got this report card that was the end of the year for third grade, and my third grade teacher said, she's a smart kid, bit of a loner, she kind of needs friends. And I was like, why?
See, I think that's personally, Dr. X, and I feel that's wrong when like a teacher goes, oh, you know, that person, you know, they're good at this, but you know, I think they, you know, and they just label you like that. I don't like that.
Yeah. Also, I kind of like don't like when people kind of pressure introverts or you know, quote unquote loners to have friends or you know, kind of subscribe to like the normie standards, basically. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because everyone's different. Everyone has like different standards for like how much they want to interact with people. But I don't know if in your case if like you know, the quote unquote loner stuff was intentional or unintentional.
It was very interesting. A lot of people would say that I was very introverted back then, but mm-hmm. it was mainly because, like, I could connect with people and talk to people, but they did not want to connect with me. And so I tended to get bullied. Not too much, because I was, I don't know, I'm dumb. Someone would try to bully me and I'd be like, okay. but let's see, when, like, in grade school and stuff, when it was like recess, I wouldn't really play with all the other kids because I really liked being on the swing. And whenever I was on the swing, I would just sing to myself. And later on, I started like singing in different like voices because like I liked the certain character and I wanted to know how they would sound singing a song. So I would just like try to sing it in their register and stuff. Especially the song Bad Apple. So I would do it like super high, super low, super like whatever. And so for me, it's actually easier for me to voice act when it's singing related.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So you kind of discovered voice acting from your singing.
Yes.
I bet you're very similar to me in that, like, whenever, you know, like how sometimes when you sing in the shower, like, do you sing in the shower as well?
Yeah.
And like, you know how like you like, I'm definitely the kind of person where like, if I want to like sing a song or like something, I want to try to make it sound authentic to like the voice and the song. I don't want to like have it make it sound like my own thing. So I can totally get that. Like why you'd be like, no, I want to sound just like this character did when they originally sang it.
Yeah. That's why it took me like quite a while to like find my own voice, like singing wise. And because like, again, like when you're hearing a song, you want to sound like them. So you try to hit the same notes. You try to, you know, sing it like they sing it. But what actually got me out of it was actually singing nursery rhymes. Because with nursery rhymes, everyone sings them. So there is no right way to sing it. So you have to sing it in your own way.
Interesting. Yeah, I can see why. Well, it makes sense why, you know, when you learn piano or when you learn singing lessons that they start off with like really basic songs like that. Because I think it's, like you said, it's very flexible in terms of how you can sing it.
Yee, there's no like thrills or belting and stuff. It's not like, the little things that singers do.
Oh, yes, I know. I forget what the term is when they do that. But yes, I know what you're talking about. It's when they're reaching for the note, like they're trying to like reach the note rather than just hitting the note right away. Now, when did you get into like wanting to voice like Lolly characters and Shota characters? Like, well, when did that come about?
The idea of it actually came like when I was really little, when I was watching Naruto for the first time, and then I found out that the voice actor for Naruto in the English was actually a woman, and I was like, oh, that's so cool to like voice a boy, I want to do that someday. But I didn't really pursue voice acting until a couple years ago, actually. So I lost everything. I got into a car crash and I lost my job. And I tried to apply for a job online and it turned out to be a scam. And then they took all of my bank money as well. Oh. So like everything that I saved up. Like, I literally had enough for 3 months because that's the time limit that I was like, I'm gonna give myself three months to find a new job. Like, I had a savings. Well, the scam took everything. So I literally had nothing. And I had my roommate with me, which is Meow. He's a big part of my life. And we kind of looked at each other. We're like, well, the law says that when you get evicted, you get 1 month. So what are we doing this month? And I'm like, well, we could literally do anything we want because we both lost a job. We don't have a car. I tried applying to like the grocery store that was like across the street. They literally didn't call back till like four months later. So like forget about it. So he was just like, well, you always wanted to try voice acting, right? And I was like, yeah. So I sat down, with less than $100, I managed to like soundproof the closet that we had. And I just picked out like a couple like animations that I liked and I voiced over it. Cause I'm actually really good at fake moaning, mainly because I did it to fuck with my parents. So they will like piss me off someday, and then I'll go shower and I'll be like, and they'll be like, Minnie, shut up!
Wow. Imagine trolling your parents like that. That's so funny. Wow.
Because I didn't do anything else. I got good grades. I didn't sneak out of the house. I never went clubbing. I didn't have friends. I didn't do anything. So that was my way of rebelling.
Well, I will say, number one, you do an amazing, amazing moaning sound. When I was watching your stream on Saturday, it was so funny when you were doing the DVD, the bouncing on the corners, and every time would hit like an edge, you'd make the moaning sound, and people were just like, oh, well, if it hits the corner, you gotta make the orgasm sound. It's just very, very funny and very entertaining. Your stream was very, very entertaining, and I'm sure your Twitch stuff is also very amusing, because you know your voice is very, very unique, even your natural voice. So I can see how like you probably gravitated to wanting to try out different, like, you know, Lolly and Shota voices. Like, who are some of your like favorite like Shota or Lolly characters? Like, do you have any particular ones that you were just like, oh, I gotta see if I can like imitate this voice?
I'm not sure voice wise. I know Kana is like my favorite Lolly.
Oh, and... yep, good choice.
But a lot of them tend to sound similar yet distinct. And I know my regular voice tends to sound very boyish. Like this one time I was playing Project Winter, and you know, you have to like use your voice to kind of like give off false information while talking to your teammates and stuff. And as I was speaking, some guy was like, who let this 8-year-old here? And I'm like, I'm an adult. And he's like, sure you are. I'm like, I'm a woman. And he was like, for real, are you like a girl? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, girl, can I have your number?
I fucking knew it. He would change his tune as soon as he learned you were a girl.
It's so, kind of like that meme of like, Is that a boy I smell? Except it's like on the internet, it's like as soon as a guy discovers it's a girl online playing a video game, they change their mind.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So it happens when there's a girl that shows up in the middle of a bunch of sweaty guys.
So I don't know. I've always wanted to capitalize on that since my natural voice sounds like a little boy naturally. Mm-hmm. I just realized that a lot of the, like you said, like Lolly and Shota voices, most of them are Japanese because they don't care over there. It's normal over there. But over here, no one does it. It's like everyone's too afraid to do it. Mm-hmm. Even like the actual Lollycons, like my friend Shima, I visited her. And her entire room is filled with cunny. There's cunny everywhere. Like, the sun would rise up and she has, like, a cunny poster over the window. And it literally looks like God is descending down with cunny. And,
like, I like it.
God endorses cunny.
Yeah, see? God endorses cunny. There we go. You heard it. Confirmed by Biddy.
No more fights on Twitter, okay? It's settled.
And even she's very standoffish when it comes to people requesting or wanting to commission her to voice Lolly content. Right now, it's mainly because she doesn't have time. But it's also very just off-putting. Because one, it's like your voice. So if you're very attached to your voice, you don't want to say things that you don't mean. You don't want to get into character, because then it's also acting. It's not just voice. And then if you don't act and you put yourself out there, then that's a lot more dangerous to the person. Because then if someone responds negatively to something you voice, then you start to take it personally.
And yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so it's like something that not a lot of people are willing, because it is a sacrifice. Not only is it a sacrifice of time, but it's also a sacrifice of character. And no one's really willing to do that sacrifice, and the people that do don't do it for very long. I actually didn't even know about a lot of these things, actually. When I made BittyCat, it was literally the first time of me getting into the Lolicon Shotokan space. I've never been in it before. And it was actually Meow that showed me the ropes. So, like, he showed me, like, hey, this is ATF. This is, like, the big Lolicon hub. Like, I didn't know. I don't know a lot of things. But just because I don't know, that doesn't mean I'm innocent. So I'm very, like, innocent in the way that I'm dumb or very ignorant. Like, this one time when I was streaming many years ago, because I actually started streaming in 2020 under different names. Someone was saying like to pin someone, and I thought that was like the wall slam thing, you know, like in the high school, because you know the girl's being pinned against the wall.
So, yeah,
like and he puts like his hand like right next to her head, and he's, you know, like, I thought it was that. And so he's like, oh, like, please pin me. And I'm like, you mean like wall slam, like bam bam? And they're like, you don't know what pinning is? Like, oh, that's so cute. And I'm like, no. He's like, oh, you're so innocent. I'm like, I'm not. And they're like, it's when a girl fucks a guy in the ass. I'm like, I did that 2 weeks ago. I'm like, I didn't know that's what it was called.
Oh, they call that pinning? I didn't know that, actually. Now I'm the innocent one.
Yeah.
So it's like, just because I don't know vocab terms doesn't mean I'm suddenly this pure angel. So same thing about like the Lolicon Shotokan space, that I don't know the websites, I don't keep a folder, I don't know a lot of the vocab terms that people use, but that doesn't mean that I'm not interested or I am not wanting to learn. So it's also why I play the Imoto, like little sister, because I'm fish brain and I don't understand things very well, but I'm eager to learn. I'm eager to listen. I'm eager to learn. And that includes like everybody's kinks. Like, why does eating out a pussy need to be cunnilingualicious? I don't fucking know, but it's a term I know now.
Kind of a little lingualicious, yeah.
That's a scientific name for it.
So you must have like learned a lot about the Wally Shota space within that short period of time, then.
Yes, I've learned a lot. Let's see. I literally started like last year.
Oh wow! So you're like pretty recent then.
Yes.
So that's, yeah, because, you know, I can totally understand that, though, because, like, you know, Dr. X and I, you know, we didn't know when we first like got into Lolly and Shota, like, art and enjoying it, we didn't really know much about the terms and things like that. It's literally all self-discovery, like you said, or somebody kind of reveals it to you and you go, what, really? That's what it means? And that's what this is? And, but, like, yeah. I had no idea that you had to pronounce Lolly as Lolly. I literally had for years thought it was Lolly.
Lolly.
Yeah. So like eventually I was just like, oh, it's supposed to be Lolly, like lollipop. Okay, I get it now.
Yeah. It's interesting because like a lot of people haven't actually heard these words spoken out loud. So, mm-hmm. you know, everyone has like kind of like people who haven't heard it spoken out loud probably have like some kind of like their own pronunciation in their head. But
yeah, they do.
Yeah, so there's like one person who thought like Shota is pronounced Shada or something. Shada. Really, because it just sounds like Shota with an accent. But
it's like, take a shot.
Exactly. but yeah, I think I learned how to say Shota from like Pantai or like anime or something. And probably the same thing with Lolly. So one thing I wanted to ask you is how much were you already into Lolly and Shota when you started doing those voice acting for them, for those characters?
Yes. I just kind of misunderstood it because I thought it was more of the mannerisms, so kind of like how like a trope. So I thought Shota was someone who's like short, acts really cute or really innocent or just really young or acts that way. So I thought because femboy wasn't a term back then, I thought femboys were Shotas.
Oh, wow. I mean, they can be.
That's interesting. Yeah, they can be. Mm-hmm. Tracy from IA2.
So it's just like that innocence or just being like, hey, nande. Like that cuteness and stuff. Like cuteness was like the big key word. So like any male character that acted really cute and looked cute, I thought was Shota. But then I learned that Shota and Lolly actually is strictly for that they're young, like they're underage. Like literally a year ago.
Wow, that's surprising. But yeah, you know, Lolly and Shota, I mean, some people interpret it differently, but I always understood it in this is my personal opinion, I guess, but I feel like it really means like a pre-pubescent character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so like not like Deku from like My Hero Academia just because he's 16.
yeah.
Because there are people out there who think he's a Shota.
No.
He's not.
He's got the cuteness, but no. Please don't say that.
but like, you know, Kana, like you said, your favorite Lolly, like she's definitely like a Lolly.
Yeah, even though she's like a dragon. And like,
though I have also recently learned that apparently Kana is considered a thick Lolly.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah, because of her thighs and stuff, probably. Yeah, yep. I can see some people considering that. I wonder if she's almost considered like a Lolly. Well, she wouldn't be a short stack though because she doesn't have tits. No. Interesting though that they.
Yeah, because that's what I thought. When people say like, "Oh, that Lolly's thick," and I'm like, "Where?" Because to me, thick like with the uppercase CC, like it's like a freaking short stack. Like that's what I thought. So like Midna.
I guess Kana is a little wider in that area than most Lollies, I guess. And see what's interesting is like people have like different opinions on like how you know, quote unquote, thick they want the Lollies to be. Some of them want them to be like very narrow, like in quote unquote realistic in that area, like with the thighs and the ass and everything. Some of them are kind of like them a little wider, or they're okay with it.
Yeah, the way I saw it was that she just had like some baby fat. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't necessarily call her thick or anything, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you on that. That's how I interpreted it, is that she just had, you know, a little bit of fat there, naturally.
Because, like.
Now, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that. Because, like, if you look at her thighs, they just look squishy. It's not something that you get this insane feeling that you just want to slap it so you can see it jiggle.
I mean, I kind of do.
I mean, both you could have both those thoughts.
Exactly. I'm both.
Now, is there any kind of like Shota character you really like?
No.
So it's just kind of like a general sort of thing?
I guess it's pretty general, because, like, you know, when it's late at night, I start to look up stuff like what to masturbate to.
Yeah.
You know, I go on nHentai, I literally just put in Shota plus English, and it's whatever looks cute. I'm just really attracted to the cuteness factor.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But what I call the sensation is that my heart goes woo. So, like, that fluttery feeling that you get. When you're like, wow, like, that thing's beautiful, that's super cute. I call it when my heart goes woo. And, very few things ever do, especially in real life, because I didn't go through that phase growing up. That's, like, boy bands and stuff, and they're like, oh my god, Bon Jovi, and they have, like, posters on the room and stuff. I didn't do that. I didn't do any of that. I never really got I never understood, like, getting feelings for, like, someone that you don't know. So, my feelings definitely pertain to, like, things that, like, I know, like, I'm connected to, I have a relationship with. Until, like, because that also included, like, fictional characters. Like, I felt nothing really much. Until I played Mystic Messenger.
Now, what's Mystic, which console is that for, Mystic Messenger?
Mystic Messenger is a mobile game. And it's kind of like a dating game. But the way this game is set up, it random intervals in the day, the characters in this game can actually call you on your phone. Like, your phone will ring, and you can answer, and then you hear the thingy, like, what they're talking to you about, and then you select, like, what prompt you want to respond with.
That's,
I guess, that game for me became a little too real, because I would literally be at work and I'd be like, hold on, I got a phone call. And it's just this cute anime boy calling me.
I got to talk to my boy waifu for just give me a second.
Anime boyfriend.
Anime boyfriend. God. Yep.
And I fell hard for 707. Oh geez, like, I felt so hard, like, my heart went woo. I say, like, I would always get his phone calls. Like, every other character, I'd be like, I could miss this phone call, I don't care. But him, I'll be like, guys, I'm going to the bathroom. I need to take this call. It is very important to me.
Now, did he look Shota-like? Did he have Shota characteristics?
A bit. Well, like, funnily enough, the character that has more Shota characteristics in this game, I actually hate his guts. But...
Yeah, I wonder if he's the douchey kind of Shota.
No, he... Oh, okay. Okay, freaking... What is his name? Yusung. Something like that. I hated his guts because I was trying to go for 7, but apparently I didn't know that once you're... Because you have to beat the game first and unlock the part 2, and then it's in the part 2 that you can actually date 7. If you try to go for him in the first part, what will end up happening is Yusung would get in trouble thinking that he was gonna die because he drank too much chocolate milk. And then this would end up on him getting kidnapped and I think maybe even killed. And then it's over. And then I'm just like, why? Are you that dumb? So he's the youngest one. He's the shortest one. He's very clumsy and cutesy and dumb, but a little too dumb. And I hated his guts because he kept me from the character. Like, I was super, like, wanting to get.
Yeah, he kept you from your boyfriend.
Yeah, so after, like, 20 game overs... Then you know, I had to start over because I was like, oh, okay, I'm doing this wrong. But because as you play, you accumulate, like, the hate points or love points. So if you have too many hate points, then you get a bad ending. And you just have to start over. Like, there's not really a coming back from that. So after, like, so imagine me, like, trying for, like, a whole month and just getting game over because he's drinking, like, too much chocolate milk. And I'm like, I hate your guts.
I can totally understand that.
Yeah, but, like, I can't stand games that, like, hard lock you into, like, you accidentally drank too much chalky milk, and now you're gonna get the bad ending. It's like, how am I supposed to know that's what I did wrong? And then you can't rescue yourself from that. You can't get out of it. That's the reason why, like, when Dr. X and I made In Sexual Awakening 1 and 2, we made sure that, like, nobody could end up getting, like, a bad end, and, like, you didn't get, like, hard locked into anything, stuff mm-hmm. like that, because that's annoying, and that's even more annoying in, like, porn games, because I've seen those before, where you have bad ends in, like, porn games, and, like, that's the worst, because you're trying to fap, you're trying to enjoy yourself, and all of a sudden it goes, and your brains were sucked out by an alien, too bad you lose, and it's like, but I was just getting the good stuff.
it's a boner killer. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, and you don't want to, like, go back and, like, have to redo the story to get back to the point where you might possibly have something to actually jerk off to. Mm-hmm. So, because some games like have it where like a decision you made like 2 hours ago is why you have the bad ending. that makes it even worse.
And it never tells you that either. Yeah. It never tells you that was the wrong decision. Oh. Yeah, so I totally feel you on that, like, getting frustrated by getting all those endings, being like, what am I doing wrong? Because of a character being stupid.
A lot of people do like the character, and, like, good for them, but it was my personal experience that I do hate his guts. But, so 7 was actually became my very first husbando ever in my life, and this was literally, like, right after I graduated high school. So, like, I'm very, very late to the whole waifu game as well. And, so after him, I watched Akagame ga Shirayuki Hime, or a Snow White with the red hair. And Obi also became a husbando. And when I watched Ace of Diamond, Miyuki became my third husbando. Mm-hmm. And if you look at these three characters, they're all very similar personality-wise. So they're all intelligent that no one else can really match them. But they're also very silly but know when to take things seriously. But they love being silly, like, if it's their downtime, like, they're not at work, they're not, like, working on anything, like, they're just silly. They're very playful, they like to joke around a lot. But, and they also have goals in life that they have a passion, and I'm very much drawn to that. And funnily enough, this very much reflects on the kind of people that I'm also into. Or that I would like to pursue and stuff.
That's interesting that you have, like, this type of character or person to relate into.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you go on nhentai and you find, like, have you ever found, like, a doujin or anything that has, like, a cute shota with the personality type that you like? And, like, do you enjoy that doujin more if they have that kind of personality, or...
I don't think doujins are that long to even show that kind of personality.
Establish that the kind of personality.
because
Bitty Cat was, like, talking about how a character, like, behaves differently in certain circumstances.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, but when I look up, like, hentai and stuff, I mainly look for just a very cute art style. I'm very much drawn to the art styles. And if the shota is, like, I guess it's just different kind of scenarios. Either, like, he's so innocent that he's learning for the first time, or he is very, like, or just bottom or top, or shota and on loli, and he's, like, top. or I found one. It was actually one of my favorites. Yeah, it was like a femboy and a Shota, and I was like, whoa.
I've probably seen it, honestly.
Yeah, Dr. X enjoys like really cute Shota femboys, so that
yeah. Yep. Like in yaoi situations, I admit I do like it.
It's funny because the things that like make my heart go woo, it happened for the first time ever last year when I was at work, like in real life. Like it wasn't an anime boy. It was a coworker of mine, and his name was Kevin. And he was like super thin, very femboy, like long hair. He dyed it purple. And I was like, oh my God, who is he? And that's never happened to me before, ever in my life. Because usually, again, I'm drawn to people from that I know, that I've come to know, that I've established a relationship with. Other than that, like, I typically don't really show interest. But he was like the first one that I knew nothing about. He just came in as a new employee, and I was like, oh my God. So I'm starting to understand those feelings more and more. And funnily enough, so I like Shota. I like very thin femboys, but I also really like burly men.
Mm-hmm. That have, you have a range. That's great. Me too.
Yeah. So like, I love dad bods. Like, woof, dears, woof.
Now, here's an interesting question. If you like the dad bod things, do you like scenarios of like a loli with like an older like man, like a dad bod kind of character?
There's not that many of them.
Yeah, you're right about that. Like, it's usually either like this. Bodybuilder guy or like average guy or ugly bastard.
Yeah, and I don't like the bodybuilder one. And yeah, the closest thing is ugly bastard, so I do actually get off to a lot of those.
Mm. But I'm guessing it's because you don't really have any other choice, because you can't get the nice dad bod type stuff.
Oh, like very recently I just got Diablo 4.
Oh, and I have that too. It's awesome.
Right now, I'm playing Druid, who's like, you know, a big, burly body type. Yeah. And I made him look like a Viking. And I'm like, who's this man? I mean, I named him Uther.
Very nice.
Great name for a Viking man.
Yeah, so he has like, he got this chest hair and the happy trail. And I'm like, oh, tell me where the happy trail goes, please.
That's great. So you kind of go for like a guy with muscle, but also a little cushion. Is that right?
Yes.
Well, you know, I'm sure that there are probably a lot of, there probably are a lot of females out there who do like that body type, but I know Dr. X and I know that there's definitely like a dynamic of straight loli fans that mm-hmm. enjoy like having like an older, more experienced man with like a younger like female character.
Yeah,
so
definitely. Yeah,
I can definitely see that dynamic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like it's just with straight Shota, like, you know, guys kind of project onto Shota with like straight loli. A lot of girls will like project onto the loli and kind of imagine if they were a loli and getting pursued or like having fun with an older guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and funnily enough, when I portray myself onto a loli, it's not because like, oh, what if I was a loli? Because I'm 4'9".
So you kind of like you kind of like you feel like you identify a little bit with the loli stuff, huh?
Yeah, which is why like I dabble in the two, because it's either that I want to get off to like the Shota or the cuteness and like femboys. Or I go and find loli stuff because I relate more to it.
Yeah, and you know it's as amusing that you have such a range in terms of like the guys you like, because it's like that with a Mean Hydro in terms of the girls we like. We have a pretty wide range.
Yes, very wide. Because
we like the tomboys, like basically like, you know, the quote unquote reverse traps. But we also like, you know, the very feminine, like mom types. And
we like thick moms, we like muscular moms, we like, you know, all different like skin types. So we like, you know, big tits, medium tits, no tits, totally flat,
yes.
Everything.
I have to admit that with lollies, I kind of prefer the flat chest. It's just something about it, like when it's so flat that you can just like see the pectorals. Just something about that really hits for me.
Yeah. Because I guess it's like pushing the extreme a little bit.
Yeah, I do think it's that, because of course I do love smaller tits, but in terms of like sometimes a lolly will have smaller tits, but it feels like it doesn't hit like the maximum lolly with that. The maximum lolly is a complete flat chest. Yeah. But yeah, with the dad bod thing, is like. And a lot of people who are like into straight shoulder like also like the mom bod as well. So that just reminded me of that. So if anyone's worried about their body type, there's always going to be someone who's into whatever you got. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of also too of a discussion we kind of had in a previous podcast where. In regards to the perspective that of showing, like, do you like when you find like a lolly hentai or you know, shota femboy hentai? Do you like it when it shows the POV from the lolly, or do you like it when it's from the perspective of like the guy, for example, who's fucking the lolly or whatever?
There is almost. No doujin that is the point of view of the lolly.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
I knew it.
And I'm so starved.
That's what I figured. I figured that you would have liked to see more of that. And the reason why I was saying that is because in straight shota, it's also not very common. Excuse me. It's not very common to show the perspective from the it's actually not common to show it from the female's perspective looking at the shota, you're projecting on, because a lot of the times, you know, a lot of times males who are enjoying the straight shota, they just want to project onto the shota, so they don't want to have to look at the shota. But if you're a female who's into the shota, you definitely want that. So I can totally get from your perspective that you want to be in the character of the lolly, and you want to be able to see the sexy dad bod guy or whatever, you know, male character you're enjoying at the time. I can totally get that.
Yeah, and so it'd be great if it'd be great if more artists like did like female point of view stuff. So. So people like Bitty Cat don't go starved.
I'm so hungry, feed me.
That's basically what it is when we think about it. It's female point of view is very rare. Like either when it's straight shota or when it's straight lolly, it's rare. So get on it, artists. We are requesting it. Because that would be fun.
And I've started like in my own art, I started doing more female point of view stuff, because there are girls who like, you know, straight shota or, you know, shalikan, and you kind of want to imagine themselves as the girl in that scenario. So I enjoy like making stuff that people enjoy, because it's really nice to hear people say like that they like your stuff. So
there's also another thing that is like doesn't really exist.
Mm-hmm.
And that's code Geass Porn. So I started developing a number four of a husbando, and that's Lelouch Lambrouge, after I watched code Geass, and like he's just like a perfect man. But so I was like, I got really excited one night. I was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna go on hentai and I'm gonna look up like Lelouch, and there was like almost nothing.
Oh my god, really? Wow.
Yeah, there were three that had Lelouch in it. one of them was with Suzaku, so it was like a yaoi, and two of them was with C2. And they terribly portrayed his character. I don't know why they made him a bottom when he literally takes over the world. Excuse me?
So you're the type that, like, if you, and I'm like this too, if you're looking at like a comic of an established character, like from Code Geass, you want to make sure that like it, how they're being depicted fits their personality type from the show, right?
Yeah, because like, he's my husbando. I love him because of how he's portrayed in the show. And I just wanted to have like a little bonus, a little extra, a little 60 time. And then you're gonna make him bottom? He's not gonna take no dick from nobody. Come on. He literally has a power in his eyeball that he could make anyone do anything he commands. Do you really think with that much Dom energy? He's gonna be taking dick.
Oh, that is surprising, and it's kind of interesting in like male pairings, and you know, yaoi, like everyone has, like,
especially with Suzaku of all people, the guy that for the whole almost entire two seasons doesn't stand up for himself, always does everything because everyone else wants to. Like, he's the most bottom character I know.
I have a feeling the artist was like, well, this is kind of interesting. I'm just going to reverse the roles here. I have a feeling that was the point. But, you know, everyone with the yaoi stuff, everyone has like their different preference on top and bottom stuff. But yeah, it does sound like that. And I haven't watched the anime yet. I think it's kind of on my bucket list because people were comparing it to Death Note, which I really enjoyed. So yeah, I think I'll watch that at some point. But yeah, that character really does sound like he'd be better suited to being a top and not you know, getting fucked by the whippy sounding character.
Yeah, that would trigger me. I would hate it. I would hate it if it like broke what their character's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Like, not to like spoil, but there's this part in the anime that Suzaku has a Lelouch like in a chokehold, and they're gonna die because the military like sent out a missile and it's gonna kill them both. And Lelouch is like, don't you want to live for something? Don't you want to like live like something, like anything, just live? And he's like, nope, because I'm a soldier, I follow orders. That's literally what he says.
Oh my god, it's like that's so that Lelouch, guy's bottom.
So Lelouch literally had to use his power on him to force him to live. That was literally the command he gave him, live. And then through that command that he was like, oh my god, fuck orders, I want to live. And then goes and actually helps Lelouch like escape because now he wants to live. So now he was like able to run outside of like the missile range and stuff. So it's like... Like, it's even in the show itself that's like, he's fucking bottom. He just does everything that he's told. He doesn't do things. And then Lelouch is like, fuck you, fucking live. I'm giving you this command. That's Dom energy.
Yeah, it's like he domed him in the anime.
Exactly.
And it's okay, Suzaku Kurugi. Is that his name?
Kururugi.
Kurugi. According when I'm on Hitomi Law, I've got 357 results with his character.
Yeah, everyone likes Suzaku, but I like Lelouch Lambrouche.
Oh, Lelouch. Okay, so let's see, Lelouch. That's who it is. How do you spell it?
Let me type it in the chat. And also, what site? Because I only know Enhentai. See, I don't know stuff.
It's like Hitomi. Well, here, I'll give it to you in the in the chats. Hitomi.
Everyone listening can just imagine what's going on.
Yes. Yeah, it's like Hitomi Law. I like Hitomi Law because I feel like it has more stuff than what I know of. Yeah, that's interesting.
I forgot the P, sorry. Is Lamp Rouge.
Oh, it's okay.
I can't type.
So Lamprouge. Okay, let's see if that comes up.
That does change the vibe of his name, like Lamprouge or Lamprouge.
Yeah.
Wow. So I think if his name was Lamprouge, then I don't know if I could accept him as a top.
Oh, and he's also voiced by my favorite voice actor of all time, which is Johnny Youngbush.
Lamprouge. It's Lamprouge. Yeah. Lamprouge. Okay.
Johnny, so if you guys Johnny know about is. Johnny...
Oh, go ahead.
I love Johnny's voice. He uses the exact same... A lot of people don't like him because they say that he uses the exact same voice in all of the things that he's casted in. But the thing is, it's such a fucking good voice! And it's like, why else? Who would you go anything else with, you know?
Just have everyone voiced by him, including girls.
So Johnny, he voiced Sasori in Naruto. He voiced Ichigo in Bleach. He voiced
Yuna Arakami and Persona 4 and Dachi, I think.
Yeah, and the character from Durarara, the Uzuhara.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah Uzuhara, he's also voiced him. He was also the first Black Power Ranger. And he also voiced, I forgot the guy's name, but it was in the Japanese, this is Sengoku Basara. He also voiced the guy in there. I think his name was Yuki. And I just love Johnny. And he also voices Lelouch. And he's just so hot.
So what do you like about his voice? I feel like... So there's a certain thing to his voice. It feels like it's there's like a subtle like cleverness to his voice, I feel.
Yeah, it's like a perfect mixture of like bass and treble, and a perfect mixture of like softness but hard. Oh, it's just so good.
That's great. And you know just because I'm kind of a nerd about it, have you ever played Persona 4?
Nope.
You might be interested in that. I don't know if like...
I did play Persona 5 and I had a really good time with it.
Yeah, I think you'd like Persona 4 then because the gameplay is pretty similar. What did you like about Persona 5?
It was the first game that I played that was like solo without my brother around and I was living alone. Excuse me. And it was the first game that actually relaxed me.
Oh, really? Wow, it's great.
Yeah, so it wasn't like a try-hard game. It wasn't like, oh, you gotta do puzzles and you gotta think hard. Like, it was a game that I literally sat back on my couch and literally felt the stress leave my body.
Yeah, I like during the segments of the gameplay where you're just kind of deciding what to do in the city. It feels like really relaxed.
Yeah, especially when it rains. I would like literally leave the game on while I go cook.
Well, because it has a very nice, like jazzy lounge kind of soundtrack when it's raining out. You know, it's got like electric piano and organ playing and stuff.
Yeah, like this is, and Hydra and I have thought about this is that. The mark of a really good soundtrack is if you can listen to it outside of the game and like have a perfectly good time. And Persona 5 is totally an example of that.
Yes, definitely.
Now I'm curious, is like, do you have a best boy for Persona 5?
I don't think so.
You don't say? Yeah, I was wondering about that because I don't think there isn't really a character that kind of fits the character trope you've been talking about.
Yeah,
where it's like kind of like an intelligent but like silly character. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ryuji's kind of a dumbass. I mean, in like the best way possible.
He's like all pure silly.
Yeah,
and then Morgana almost fits it, but not really.
Yeah, because Morgana, he's like, he he needs to take a chill pill sometimes. Like, I don't think he doesn't joke that often, honestly.
Mm-mm.
It's like when he's silly, it's like unintentional.
Yeah, and then same thing with the other guy with the blue hair.
Yusuke, yeah.
Yeah, Yusuke.
Yeah, and he's also kind of stupid.
He tries to sound sophisticated, but then he comes off like a dumbass.
Yeah.
I feel like I don't know why, but I just got like a sense, Biddy, that like you could probably pull off a close to a Morgana voice a little bit. But I can almost hear it a little bit.
So like, I could also sound like Tristana from League of Legends.
Oh, really? Nice. Well, Tristana, I am familiar. I did play League of Legends a long time ago. And I always liked Tristana. Like, I always kind of wanted to fuck her.
Let's see if I can do it. Once a Bandle Gunner, always a Bandle Gunner.
Pretty good. Like
yeah.
And Tristana had a really funny line of, is that a rocket in your pocket, I think. I'm pretty sure that...
Yeah.
I don't know if they removed that or not, but I always thought that was a funny line that she had.
I like the implications a lot.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of porn of Tristana.
It's fun to have like that flirty dialogue from like I think League of Legends is like probably like rated T or something.
Yeah,
like,
it is.
It's funny to have kind of like suggestive or flirtatious dialogue like that, even in a T-rated game.
Those are always the great games that can put in the innuendos and keep them. They don't,
yes.
You know, they don't try to censor them. Like Dr. X and I were talking about. Like, I don't know if you're familiar with Fire Emblem at all, Biddy.
Yes.
But you are.
Oh, it feels like I talked to you about that. I really like Fire Emblem myself. Yeah, they basically like in the English localization they like remove the romances for quote unquote underage characters.
Oh my god, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, I'm not buying this shit.
And they did that. Well, they did that with multiple titles, didn't they? They did that with multiple titles.
No, because I mean, I can only really speak for Awakening and Fates.
See, this is why I need to learn Japanese, because freaking America always gets like the short end of the sticks in all these translations. Like even with Pokemon, like in Japan, they can naturally get their legendaries, but over here they literally lock it away from us, and we have to wait for like some freaking Game Freak freaking GameSpot event.
Yeah, I don't want to go outside for this. Yeah, it's usually like you have to wait for like some event or something, and usually it's a lot of times you don't get in the West, so yeah.
Yeah, that pissed me off when I got my first Game Shark.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Game Shark, man, that brings me back.
Yeah, because like my favorite Pokemon game is Gen 2. And in Crystal, in the Japanese game, after you beat it and you meet up with the guy that makes like the Apricorn, the Pokeballs,
yeah.
He gives you a GS ball and you put in the GS ball into the shrine and Celebi will come down and you can actually catch him.
Yeah.
Well, apparently in the but then in the American version, they literally just put in a thing that you don't ever get the GS ball. So if you use the Game Shark, that just to simply get the item, you can still go to the shrine and insert the GS ball and Celebi will come down. Like the event is still there. But what they do, they just get rid of the item that triggers the event.
That's so stupid. Weird. Why would they do that? That's so stupid.
Exactly. It makes the game worse.
Like it's like it kind of almost feels like it's out of spite or something. I don't know.
Yeah, because there's like no logical reason why they should remove it. I feel like they've gotten better over the later games because Dr. X and I have played Scarlet and Violet together a ton, and it's a blast. I love it.
Yes.
And you know, it doesn't seem like they restrict anything, thankfully, anymore between the different localizations.
Mm. I sure hope so. I haven't played Scarlet, but that practice continued through like Gen 3, Gen 4, Gen 5, 6. Like, it went on for a while.
So yeah, surprising.
I think they really leveled the playing field with the more recent games, thankfully. And you kind of saw this in the commercials they did, and you know the the promotions they did, like, they would feature more often, like, you know, like American actors and commercials and stuff, and kind of you really got a sense of, like, you know, they finally wisened up to the international communities playing their games and, like, making them money. So you know, it makes sense that they're now, like, treating those players a little bit better.
And, you know, one of the big reasons why, like, I think, well, Dr. X and I love playing the Pokemon games because there are so many amazing waifus there. There's husbandos, there's waifus, there's lollies, there's shotas. They give you everything.
Yes.
And it's so great.
Yeah.
I totally want to do a Nyono drawing with, like, the EV onesie that the little lollies have.
Yes. Oh, yes. I love that lolly. Such a cute lolly. Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a Pikachu shota as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. I would definitely love to see you draw that.
What's interesting about the Pokemon Scarlet fandom is that there's this character named Larry, who's, like, this, like, kind of middle-aged businessman character. And, like, normally you would think that, you know, people would kind of, like, not care about him, just think he's boring, but, like, he's very popular. He's like probably the most popular male character in the entire game. Maybe aside from, what's his name? Do you remember the character with long hair who looks like a fucking Disney prince?
You mean, is it from Scarlet and Violet, or is it from...
Yes, remember?
You mean, Arvin.
Yes.
Arvin.
Yes, I think he's the best character in the game, at least story-wise. Yeah. And yes, he does completely look like a Disney prince. He straight up.
Yeah. I'm gonna need to see pictures of this.
Post it in chat.
It's a fun game. I love Scarlet and Violet, and, you know, there's just so much porn of all the different types of characters from the Pokemon games and the Pokemon themselves, of course, too. Like, what are your favorite Pokemon from the second gen? What are your favorites?
Oh, I love the Eeveelutions, Umbreon, and Espeon.
Very good choices. Very fuckable.
They were so iconic, honestly.
It's funny because there's some Pokemon from Gen 2 that some people would get into arguments with me, thinking that they were from in Gen 3, like Tyranitar. And I'm like, no, they came out Gen 2.
Yeah.
Oh, Tyranitar kicks ass. I guess
it might be because, like you meet Tyranitar, like, at the very end of the game.
Yeah, the very end. And it was also Gen 3 that solidified the Pokemon look, game-wise. Because, you know, like, the show looked a certain way, but then if you, you know, play Red and Blue, obviously it didn't look that way because it was on Game Boy Color. But Gen 3 came out in Game Boy Advance, and it was the first game to really, like, look like the actual Pokemon, like, colors, shapes, all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And so I guess it wasn't until then, because it happened to me too, it wasn't until then that you really saw Tyranitar.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, so you yourself thought he was from Gen 3?
Yeah, because even if you look into, like, his design, like how sharp he looks and stuff, he looks like Gen 3. But he's not. He's Gen 2.
I wonder if he was maybe, like, one of the last Pokemon designed for Gen 2. Or maybe if like, they were starting to design Gen 3 stuff and he just happened to kind of fit in there, but prior. Yeah. I wonder. Very
maybe,
interesting.
Because in the same area is also where you find Natu and Exatu. And people also want to fight with me that they from Gen 3. And I'm like, no, they Gen 2.
And who are your favorite, like, human characters from Gen 2? Or, like, any of the Pokemon games? Like, what are your favorite characters, human characters?
Human characters? I don't really think I have one.
Oh, interesting. Oh. So you're into the, you know, the cute or the cool-looking Pokemon.
Yeah. I like Lapras.
Lapras is a classic.
Yeah,
I always love Lapras.
Now, have you seen, like, the Pokemon Gold Beta Pokemon?
The Beta? What?
Yeah, like, so, like, I don't know how they got a hold of, like, the Pokemon Gold Beta, and there's a bunch of, like, you know, like Pokemon designs or new Pokemon that didn't make it into the final game. It's kind of interesting to look at.
Oh, no, no, I haven't seen that.
Here's the one I posted in chat. And then, yeah.
Yeah, it's just a picture of a lineup of the different Pokemon that didn't make it in.
And Espeon looked very different. Well, I mean, at least coloring-wise, it looks like it's like yellow.
Yeah.
I think they were going for like the whole sun thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's really interesting. I'm gonna have to look at this later.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, I'm really glad you joined us for the podcast, Bitty Cat.
It was tons of fun.
It's been a lot of fun. You know, one of the things we do at the very end of the podcast is we kind of ask these random questions from this wheel that we have. And ooh, now you've already mentioned that you really like Kana because like she's one of your favorite lollies. Is there a reason why? Like, is there any particular reason why she's considered like your favorite? Like, is there any distinctive thing you just like about her?
I don't know. I think it comes from the cuteness and the art style.
Interesting. So like that kind of art style, then if there was like another anime that had similar arts, well, I'm surprised then I would think you'd really like Spy Family then, because the art style is kind of not quite as bright and colorful as Dragon Maid, but very similar cute designs with like the lollies for sure.
Mm-hmm. But I still like Kana better.
Yeah, Kana's gonna be your number one. No, I can understand that. Is there any like Lolly or Shota character that you wish people knew more about? Like an obscure one that like isn't talked about very much or anything like that that you can think of?
No, but I do know of an obscure character.
Oh, go ahead.
What is it?
So, I don't know if I should say, but my very first username ever, it was Mini Zira. So Mini is my nickname in real life. And Zira actually was this character that nobody knew about. She comes from Shining Force EXA from the PS2. And in this game, there's two main characters, one male, one female. And each of them are accompanied by an animal that kind of like gives them like their kind of powers and stuff. Like they're kind of like their guardian. The boy had this dog named Zenus, and this girl had kind of this mixture axolotl lizard looking super cute little thing, and her name was Zira. And I became very obsessed over her during this time period. And to come to find out that there's almost no art of her anywhere.
Yeah, that always sucks. You get like kind of fixated on a character or even like a franchise, and then you look it up and like no one cares about it. No one's talking about it.
Yeah. Ugh.
So I made her part of my username to try to get people to talk about her, to be like, oh, like, what's that name from? Or like, what's that name mean? And I would be like religiously like, let me teach you about Azira.
Yep.
And funnily enough, I even paid an artist to draw her like a rough sheet, because even in the official like books and stuff that I looked up, she didn't have a full body rough. So like no one even knew how she looked like, because like even in the game itself, the only two images that she's in, she's on someone's shoulder because she's that small.
Wow.
So she does not stand alone on her own. So I literally paid money for someone to like figure that out for me, because I'm like, I want her to exist, and it sucks that she doesn't exist anywhere, and I want to try to change that. And that's why it's actually still like my Steam username. Mm-hmm. And my PFP, it's still a picture of her is just zoomed in on the shoulder.
Oh, yeah, she is really cute.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, yep. It's so weird how that kind of, how they have like no, you'd think they would have like some kind of artwork reference, because somebody had to design that. Somebody had to design that, you know, so.
So those are the only two instances. So it's like her on the shoulder of the main character female, and then her on top of Zenus when the two characters go out to like literally fight the final boss, and these two get left behind together.
Yeah, and then they took a photo.
Yeah, and then the photo, like the zoomed in. Like, that's it.
Wow. Well, at least now we'll be able to kind of show people, or at least you reminded people of this. So it's always that there's a character.
Go look up the character for Biddy, okay?
Yes. And we may show an image of the characters, because she's sending us kind of images from, it's Shining Force EXA for the PlayStation 2.
Now, did you like the game in general?
Yes, it was an amazing game.
All right, everyone go play that game.
It totally entertained my little girl brain.
Well, thanks again for joining us. Really appreciate it for coming on. And where can people find your works, or your, you know, where can they find you on, like, we'll put your links and everything, but where can we find you if people wanted to do voice commission work for you or wanted to watch on Twitch, where would they go?
It's just funny because I get it
so much.
Yeah, because like I got banned on Paowoo, I got banned on Pst Audio, I got banned on Twitter like 3 times. So like, where can people find me? So,
have that website, correct? That yes. Website where there's like merch and things like that, correct?
Yeah, so I have a lot of links. So I wanted to help the Lolicon Shotacon community by drawing them merch for them. So I started this thing that if you're a Loli Shota VTuber who's in the community and wanted to sell some merch, I would draw you 3 designs completely for free. Now, since they're for free, it totally relies on my free time. So far, I did Shimo Hisae and Shira Saya. And a little bit of Bitty Cat. Like her literally with a smug face holding the word lolly, if you want that.
A smug lolly, yeah.
And that will be on unkawaii.com, because I started my own little line of designs that's a mixture of like what gamer bros want, but also what that kawaii look, like, you know, those ramen bowls, and they have like those big beady eyes and it's like super cute, but it's not something a boy would wear. So I'm making boyish versions of them. So instead of kawaii, I named it unkawaii.
I see.
And it's literally at unkawaii.com. I haven't updated it in a while because of everything that's been happening. But I could also take donations there. And I have VIP there as well.
Nice. And then, very cool.
So I stream on Twitch under Nyono, NYONO8008, because boob, am I right?
Oh, yeah.
So I stream on Twitch. So I stream Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday on Twitch. Saturday nights, I stream on Pomf. So that's Lolly Hentais, or I do live voice acting over doujins that people recommend. Anything lewd and lolly related is on Pomf Saturday nights. I post content-wise voice acting on Nyono8008_ on Twitter, because the other one got banned. And there There I put some more normie stuff. I also post on Rule 34 videos and E621. I haven't posted anything this week yet because I've been getting actually a lot of commissions.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then I have Whittle Nyono, Wittle Nyono, Twitter. That's my SFW one. If you want a little pick-me-up, I retweet a lot of cat videos, and it always makes me smile. As for Bitty Cat, I have Bitty Cat that has more of the taboo stuff. So if you like Lolicon, you like Shotas, you like lollies, you like porn, you like beepy, you like cunny, you like the taboo triggers, Bitty Cat has it all. We just established our own domain called ludiheaven.com, LEWDIEHEAVEN.
We'll provide all these links in the podcast video so you guys can see it, so that'll be great.
Yeah, and there, since it's our own Mastodon server, I post there as Bitty Cat, so I can't get banned, because it can't get me, because I'm the owner.
Yep, that's great.
But because it's very limited, since we are paying out of pocket right now, it's bordering around $100 a month right now, with how many users have come to sign up and stuff with us. It's a 500 character word limit, and I can't even post like something that's 3 minutes long, like video wise. So I'd be posting all the longer videos that are lolly related onto Voodoo. But anything that has like taboo captions, like regular captions, anything that's like very taboo, like very kinky stuff, like scat, stuff that you are very questionable, I post it as Bitty Cat on Ludi Heaven. And anything that's lolly related, Shota related, I post it on Voodoo under Bitty Cat. So if you search up Bitty Cat and Voodoo, ATF Voodoo, you'll find all my good content, because I've actually been on this conquest of voicing over all the Udon lolly animation.
Oh yeah, I remember them. Those are great. Hydrav, have you ever seen those?
I don't know if I have, but man, it's incredible the amount of stuff that you're doing, Bitty Cat. I'm very, yeah, very impressed, and I really wish you all the success, because the community is going to be growing. Like Dr. X and I believe that, and I think you're going to end up getting a lot of people interested in your works.
Yeah.
Yeah, and anything commission related, please message me on Discord, because since I'm banned from a lot of places and I have to post in a lot of other places, I'm very, very much stretched thin. So the bestest way to reach me is definitely Discord. So please join my Discord server if you want to reach me, if you want to hang out with me, if you need to commission me, anything related to me, please join the Discord server and reach out.
Awesome.
I literally only have the do not disturb status because I don't like the notification from Discord.
That's understandable.
Well, thanks again for joining us, Bitty Cat. Really amazing.
Yeah, fantastic episode.
Well, thanks.